Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. You know, this is one of those Jesus parables that is so difficult for preachers, especially the Episcopal ones, to preach. They cringe to preach about in their congregation because of mostly highly materially successful members of the church. It is quite puzzling for many of us who live in our North American context to hear this rich farmer, who is the embodiment of our capitalist system, is called a fool. Think about that. For us, the materialist North Americans, this rich man is a wise and responsible person. He has a thriving farming business. His farm has produced so abundantly that does not have enough storage space in his existing barns. So he plans to pull down his barns and build bigger one, supersize it, huge ones, to store up all his grains and goods. Then he will have ample savings set aside for the future, and he will be all set to enjoy his golden years. Now, what is wrong with that? Isn't that what our financial planners also would advise us to do? Isn't that what our economic system would encourage us to do? In our society, this rich man of the parable would be a success story and would be considered an example of hard work and wise planning, a poster child of capitalism. So what is going on? Why is God calling him a fool? Well, let us go deeper into this parable and see what is going on. First, let us listen to his monologue. So what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, drink, and be merry." Don't we notice the narcissism in this egocentric conversation he is having with himself? How much more self-absorbed can one get? In that short monologue of 60 words or so, he references himself 12 times, using first person singular I and my. Talk about the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. Strangely, we see no references to his family, his friends, and most certainly no reference to God. This is his illness, narcissism. Notice that this man cannot think about anybody but himself. His wealth distorts his view of himself in relation to others. Everything he sees starts and ends with himself. He has fallen prey to a materialistic outlook. His possessions really possess him. When we talk, it continually comes back to the self. And when leaders present themselves as the only one, this is not just a savior complex. It's a kind of ego that is void of empathy and discloses the narcissism that lies underneath. It is this kind of thinking that make you, as a society, want to circle your wagons, build a wall around you, and throw out all those whom you consider as undesirables. This rich man's values are precisely the opposite of the kingdom values, which Jesus teaches in the Gospels: relationship with fellow human beings and relationship with God. Building up a huge estate for generations to come, and even setting up a retirement account to secure a worry-free old age, are not bad in themselves, but they are not the kingdom priorities. Jesus, just as his wealth distorts his view of himself in relation to others, it also distorts his view of himself in relation to God. In this parable, God addresses him, "You fool, this very night your life is demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" His self-absorbed life fails him to see no amount of wealth or possessions can save him from his own finitude. Cut off from a life in God, he forgets that he could die any moment, and nothing on earth can prevent him from death. Jesus didn't say this parable out of context of our everyday life. He was prompted to tell this parable in response to a familial squabble over property. It is about us. It is about you and me. Money, wealth, and property are everyday stuff of our life. It is what we work for every day, and it is something we shy away from talking about in public. We just don't like to talk about money. But we do. And it is as if Jesus knew how much we don't want to talk about money. He brings it up all the time. It is said that Jesus talked about money more than heaven and hell combined. He talked about money more than anything else except the kingdom of God. 11 of 39 parables talk about money. One of every 7 verses in the Gospel of Luke talks about money. Jesus wants us church folks to have a proper relationship with what we are gifted with: our time, our talents, and our treasure. Are we acting as stewards of these gifts that God has endowed us with, or are we acting as its owners? This parable, for instance, helps us to see the importance of having a healthy relationship to our wealth, to each other, and to God. Again, it is not that money, wealth, or possessions are inherently bad, but it is about how we see them in the context in which we live. Do we see ourselves as the stewards of our wealth? Do we see our wealth, health, and our whole being are a gift from God? When we bring offerings to the altar at our worship services, at 8 o'clock we say, "All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee." And at 10 o'clock, at the 9:30 service, we sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow, and praise him, all creatures here below." If all comes from God, then we have an obligation to God to use this wealth in right and proper ways. This understanding would lead us from being consumers and owners of resources, stewards of God's good gifts. Then, unlike the man in the parable, we ask different questions about the use of our wealth. Do I really need this? Or is it a want I can live without? Where can I best use this money for everyone's benefit? How can my wealth be a blessing rather than a curse? Let us make a radical change, a paradigm shift, so to speak, with respect to money and wealth. First, let us talk about money more in ways Jesus talked about. Otherwise, what people will hear only the cultural voices about money. Second, let us begin to practice naming our blessings, something that this rich man didn't, such as our family, our health, our community, our church, our country, and the list goes on. Let us begin to notice our blessings and give God our gratitude. It's so very important to give God the gratitude. Third, let us form a community of support, helping members to live into the abundant life Jesus promises. It takes a supporting community to live and lead life that is countercultural. Friends, God wants so much more for us than simply more stuff. Jesus invites you and me into a life greater than our anxious fears over things that have no ultimate worth. He invites us into the deeper relationship with God and with others. A treasure far greater and more enduring. In his teachings on the reign of God, Jesus calls into question all earthly values, even the sound ones. We need a new orientation with respect to money, wealth, and possessions. Let us get rich toward God. Of what value is our life without consideration of eternity?